Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
Last week we began our summer sermon series called Parables. He who has ears, let him hear. And we learned about lost things. Today we're going to take a look at a different parable, and this one is known as the parable of the farmer. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 782. We're going to start with verses 1 to 9, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. This is Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. He sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So we see here Jesus was teaching a number of parables here, and Matthew just gives us one example. But it's a great parable, and it's one that we're going to talk about today. Now, last week in our introduction to our parable series, we asked the question, why did Jesus teach in parables? And since this is going to be in the context of this passage of Scripture, I want us to go ahead and read it again in verses 10 to 17. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes so that their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it.'" So I think it's clear to understand from this passage that there were actually three kinds of people that were in the audience to whom Jesus was speaking. There were some people there who were true followers of Jesus. They hung on his every word. They not only listened, but they believed it, and they strived to live it out. But there was a second category of people that I'll call fans of Jesus. And they liked to hear the teaching, and they liked to watch the miracles, and they loved the free food. They were there for the show. But they really didn't take his teachings to heart. And then there were some people there who I'll call infiltrators. They were emissaries of the Jewish religious leaders that didn't like Jesus, that didn't like what he was teaching, that didn't believe what he was saying, and they were searching for a way to discount him, to discredit him, to ultimately push him aside so all of these people would stop listening to him and they would come back to the temple or the synagogues to listen to them. So that's why Jesus was teaching in parables, to fulfill this prophecy and to give people who were truly his followers better understanding. But for the others who weren't there for their true spiritual food, they weren't going to understand because they've closed their eyes and they've closed their ears and they were there for other reasons. Now, in not all cases does Jesus explain the meaning of his parables. But in this case, he does. So let's pick it up in verse 18. He's again speaking to his disciples who have asked, "Why do you teach in parables?" And here he goes. "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." Now, if you were with us last week, you might remember we talked a little bit, if you're mathematically inclined, the message had a little bit about percentages in there. And when we were talking about the lost sheep, the shepherd had a 1% loss, but he still pursued that sheep. The woman had a 10% loss of one of her marriage coins, and she went and pursued it. But in the parable of the lost son, the father had a 50% loss. We also see some percentages in this parable too. For when the farmer went out to plant seeds, there was only 25% of his crop that yielded any harvest. That means 75% of the seed that was planted didn't grow into anything that was lasting. So let's talk a little bit more about this. You might have grown up hearing about this parable called by a different name. In some translations, it's known as the parable of the sower. Some people, because the emphasis looks like it might be on the way that the seeds were scattered, that some people might call it the parable of the seeds. Other people, because of the emphasis of the receptivity of the dirt, might call it the parable of the soils. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus wasn't really giving an agriculture lesson here, was he? But he was using some well-known things about agriculture to talk about a different kind of soil. He wanted to talk about the soil of our hearts. And as we read in the last passage, Jesus gave an application that this seed coming into people's hearts was actually the Word of God. And it was God's desire that it grow, that it produce fruit. So again, in this parable, we see that the seed represents the Word of God. And the soil represents the receptivity of the Word of God in a person's heart. This parable is all about the receptivity of the Word of God, but in application today, I want to ask, what about the receptivity of the Word of God in your heart? Jesus told this to a crowd, but it was a crowd of individuals. And there were going to be all kinds of people in that crowd who had different kinds of soil in their hearts. And Jesus realized that not everybody that was going to hear his words was going to be receptive. Some wouldn't take it in at all. And some would, but they wouldn't really live with it and let the roots grow. And some, whatever growth the seed had, would be choked out by the things of this world. But for the few, there was going to be a great harvest. And so I think for you and me today, this begs a very important question. How do you cultivate the soil of your heart so that you are receptive to the things God wants you to hear from His Word? How do you do it? And I think if we follow this parable of agriculture, it might be pretty clear. I think there's three important elements to cultivating the soil of your heart. I think the first thing that's pretty obvious is to plow the soil. That's why the seed was not received onto the footpath, because people walked on it. They trampled it down. It was tough. The seed couldn't get in. So how do you plow the soil? Well, you got to turn the soil over. That's what the plows do, right? Turn the soil over. And I think in the same way, we can understand this as we need to turn our hearts over to the Lord. I think another word is repentance. We talked about repentance last week. It's a change of mind. It's a change of decision. I don't want to live the way I was living. And it results in a change of heart. The desires of my heart are no longer to pursue those things. And that results in a change in behavior, which other people can recognize. So this plowing the soil has to do with turning our hearts over to God so we don't continue to live the same way. The Apostle Paul wrote an interesting passage about repentance in his second letter to the Corinthians. If it's the second letter, that means he wrote one before, and he refers to it in this passage. And if you've ever read 1 Corinthians, he's pretty tough with the people. He's pretty harsh with them about some things that were not going well in their church. And look what he says in this second letter. He says, "I'm not sorry I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow that God wants His people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. And there's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." I think Paul paints a pretty clear picture here of two kinds of sorrow: a worldly sorrow and a godly sorrow. A worldly sorrow lacks repentance. Worldly sorrow lacks change. But the kind of sorrow God wants us to have leads us to repent and to change our ways. Probably the easiest way I can illustrate this for you, I don't know if you've had an experience that I've had in my life that I don't care to repeat, but there have been occasions where I have been driving my car and I look up in the rearview mirror and see blue lights spinning around, and I get a ticket for speeding. And if that's ever happened to you, I don't know how you reacted, but what I did was, for about the next 2 or 3 days, you know what my driving looked like? I was about 5 miles under the speed limit, because that ticket was expensive and it hurt. But after about 2 or 3 days, and I forget the sting of it, guess what might happen to my foot? It's a little heavier again. And so if I'm sorry that I got the ticket, but it didn't really change my behavior, what am I sorry about? I'm sorry I got caught, right? I'm not really interested in changing my driving pattern. And that's what Paul is saying here. If you're sorry you got caught, but you're not sorry enough that you want to change, you won't change your heart. You won't change your life. But the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience is, "I'm so sorry, I don't want to live that way anymore." And that begins to happen when we plow the soil in our heart and can be receptive to God's Word. I think a second important thing besides plowing the soil is that you need to put down some roots. We all know that the plants aren't going to grow if the roots don't go down, don't go deep. So what's the analogy for us in our Christian walk? I think putting down roots has to do with the word obedience. Now, obedience is such a key thing. In fact, we've talked about it a little bit in our adult Bible fellowship this morning. We've been looking at 1 John, and in chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, John says this: "If someone claims, 'Well, I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a what? A liar, and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. And that's how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." And so this idea of obedience is so important in the Christian walk. You can't just say, oh yeah, I believe in God, I know Him, and then walk a different way and expect that you're going to grow. James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. That's repentance. And then he says, humbly accept the word God has done what in your heart? He planted it there. For it has the power to save your souls. And he goes on to say, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You know, Nike didn't come up with the just do it slogan. James did. Just do it. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Paul wrote in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. So this key to letting our roots grow has to do with obedience, just doing what God says. So not only do we have to plow the soil of our hearts, turn our hearts over to God, then receive His word so we can put down roots, there's one other important thing that we need to do, and I think that is to pull the weeds. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, if you've ever planted a garden or a field, but you plant the flowers or the vegetables or the crop that you want, but something else grows there that you didn't plant. Weeds. They were part of the curse, and you don't have to plant them, you don't have to water them, you don't have to grow them, and they interfere with the crop, and they're going to grow whether you want them to or not. So as a good gardener of your heart, you need to pull the weeds. Well, if turning the soil is about repentance and putting down roots is about obedience, what is pulling the weeds about? I'm going to call it persistence. You gotta stick with it. And if any of you start seeing weeds in your garden, you know if you don't do something about them, what are they gonna do? They're gonna take over. And the same thing is true when you have difficulties in your life. When you have temptation and sin that crops into your life, if you don't deal with it, if you don't pull it, it's gonna keep growing and it's gonna keep getting worse. And that's what happened to some of the people in the parable. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So it's so important that we recognize whatever we let grow in our heart is going to take over. So important that we recognize that principle of planting and harvesting. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. This is another part of persistence. I think what the Hebrew writer is telling us here, this is why it's good to be part of a church family where we can walk this path together, where we can grow together so that our own hearts don't become evil and unbelieving. That's what the weeds can do. But we have a duty to one another, because we love one another, to warn each other so that none of us is going to be deceived. Some other translations will use the word, you must encourage one another, or a little stronger, you must admonish one another. So we need to watch each other and help each other out in that way. Because ultimately what Jesus wants for us is the way that the parable ended. In Matthew 13, 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word, and they produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times what has been planted. So I'm going to ask you, I don't know how long you may have been following God, but what's the harvest of the word of God doing in your life? Is your heart receptive? Are you growing? Are you turning the soil over of your heart? Are you growing your roots down deep? And are you keeping the weeds out? That's the challenge for you and me today. So remember these three things: to cultivate your heart, to become more receptive to the Lord and His word this week, plow the soil of your heart through repentance, put down roots through your obedience, and pull the weeds through following Jesus with persistence. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you that you knew, even as you told this parable, you had different kinds of people in the audience. You knew that some were receptive and some were just there for the stuff they could receive, and some were actually there to try to infiltrate the ranks and find some way to criticize you and discredit you. But Lord, your heart was for those 25% who had hearts that were willing to receive your word and to let it grow. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us be among the few that find that way. Help us as a daily thing to be humble before you, as we learned in our adult Bible fellowship last week in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that we can live the life that you want us to live. Help us put down roots through actually obeying, just doing what you say. Help us to read your word and just do what it says. And Lord, help us through persistence to pull out the weeds that grow so that the word of God can continue to grow in our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this message today. We pray we have hearts that are receptive to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.